So we do have a speaker tonight. I'm delighted to say they're going to share their experience, strength, and hope, and the journey to into Narcotics Anonymous. 40, 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. And I'm going to hand you over to Helen, who's going to introduce them. So over to you, Helen.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hello,
Hi, Elaine. Hey,
Helen.
everybody. Hi. So I've got a massive smile on my face. I'm really super excited to present you this speaker. I have met this speaker when I first arrived in NA, and she has been well, I love her to bits, and she has been a guiding such a guiding power, especially in my early arriving to NA when I had no idea what it was about. And her faith and her faith in a higher power and in the literature were really grounding resources for me. And she's still such a good friend of mine. So with no further ado, Rebecca, ma chérie, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. hello, I'm Rebecca. I'm an addict.
Oh,
Thank you,
welcome. Becca, welcome.
Becca.
for welcoming me in this meeting. That's great. It's such anonymous that having the video off, it's a little strange to me, but I guess it's better. Well, I just want you to know that I had a shower before coming. Like, okay, I need to show up, and that's perfect. Everything is off because, yeah, I've been sick for a week, but I was like, no, you cannot cancel this share again, which I did a few times. Ellen knows. It's not that I didn't want to come. It's just it's exactly the same time I have service in a face-to-face meeting in Paris, and it's my home group. So it's always like heartbreaking for me not being able to go. Yeah, I think I can do that once a year. So as Ellen mentioned, literature really helped me in since the beginning to understand a little that program. Sorry, I have a cold. I don't know if you can still hear me when someone's calling me. Yeah, literature. I w wanted to start with a little reading that's at the, it's like at the end of How It Works, what we always read in the meetings, and just between the what we read in the meetings and the step one. So I think it's a good introducing. So these are some of the questions we have asked ourselves. Are we sure we want to stop using? Do we understand that we have no real control over drugs? Do we recognize that in the long run we didn't use drugs, they used us? Did jails and institutions take over the management of our lives at different times? Do we fully accept the fact that our every attempt to stop using or to control our using failed? Do we know that our addiction changed us into someone we didn't want to be? Dishonest, deceitful, self-willed people at odds with ourselves and our fellow man. Do we really believe that we have failed as drug users? When we were using, reality became so painful that oblivion was preferable. We tried to keep other people from knowing about our pain. We isolated ourselves and lived in prisons that we built with loneliness. Through this desperation, we sought help in Narcotics Anonymous. When we come to NA, we are physically, mentally, and spiritually bankrupt. We have hurt so long that we are willing to go to any length to stay clean. Our only hope is to live by the example of those who have faced our dilemma and have found a way out. Regardless of who we are, where we come from, or what we have done, we are accepted in NA. Our addiction gives us a common ground for understanding one another. As a result of attending a few meetings, we begin to feel like we finally belong somewhere. It is in these meetings that we are introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. We learn to work the steps in the order that they are written and to use them on a daily basis. The steps are our solution. They are our survival kit. They are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. Our steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. So, I guess I have to tell you a little where I come from. So, I was born in Paris. I'm French, as you can hear it. So sorry if my English is not very eloquent, but I'll do my best. So yeah, just in a very normal family, like middle class, in a pretty poor area where there was a lot of drugs. I mean, nothing like very special in my family story. I mean, my parents had very tough stories, but really, as parents, they built something that is close to a normal family, so they were not divorced. Though my dad was a little violent sometimes, but yeah, compared to other people's stories that I can hear, it's a sort of a very basic childhood. So as a kid, I think God has been very generous to me in a way. Like, yeah, I was pretty talented, pretty first grade in class. My mom had very high expectations about me, which was a big pressure, I have to say. So I did my best, you know, to behave and to good grades and but never felt really comfortable in this world. Always a sense of loneliness, sadness, even before using. So I discovered drugs very early. Like, I guess I had my first drink when I was 10, and then, like, the party drugs entered my life when I was maybe 12. So yeah, they had a house at the Belgian border. So Netherlands is really close by car, and it was like where we spent all our vacations. And so I was just hanging with older people, like they were teenagers, sort of, even though, and I was behaving like a teenager, if, even if by age I still was a kid. So yeah, I started using, and it gave me such a sense of ease and happiness, comfort. I guess it was a sort of spiritual awakening the first time I took drugs. And I desperately wanted to feel, I guess, like the first time I did anything. So to achieve that, which I never did, I mean, I tried to, I just used more and more and more. And my life was centered in drugs. It was just what matters to me. Though I knew that to have this sort of freedom that I needed to be able to use, I needed to keep going to school so my parents would let me go out, which I did, and I studied, and I had really good grades and diplomas, even if I was using. So I thought, you know, that drugs were very helping me to just to deal with life, you know, and maybe to reach my mom's expectations. So yeah, it worked pretty well, even if by writing my first step, I just realized that almost from the scratch, I was not a successful user. I was getting into troubles with the police or doing blackouts during school. My mom getting me at the hospital at the age of 13, 16. But for me, I mean, I didn't know what I was suffering with, so I couldn't stop. That's the only thing I knew. Like each time I tried, I felt so bad, even very young, that I was like, there's no fucking way I'm gonna stop that. And then, like age of 19, my life was very into techno parties. I was traveling with big trucks, the dog, the free parties all over Europe. And that's how I actually started to practice English because there was a lot of English travelers with their buses. And so I met my partner, and he is my partner 20 years later in these big parties. Of course, we used together. He was using a drug that I was thinking I would never go into. So I was like, okay, to be together, I don't want you to take this drug, because I didn't know that drugs for me as an addict are all the same. I was making big separation, like, oh, if I use these, that's fine, but this is all very bad. So I don't know, I thought I could save him from his demons. End of the story, I started to use with him the drug I thought I would never go into. And it's been a big love story. And I really started to feel the pain of withdrawal. And I was working. I had a pretty successful career in fashion business, like in photography. I was traveling all over the world and carrying drugs with me all over the world. And to me, it was like the rock star's life. But so yeah, my passion is photography, and the more I used, the less pictures I've made. And I don't know, I thought inspiration was coming from drugs, and actually just killed it. So I was looking for beauty by using, yeah, beauty, like very strong experience of life, and actually it just killed it all. But I still was not able to stop. I couldn't see any way out. And age of 32, my drug dealer was on vacation for 1 month, and I felt pregnant. Yeah, because I was using so much that I could never get pregnant. I mean, it's not that that was something I was aiming, but it just happened. And when I knew it, I was very happy. So even if I knew that being a using addict, I mean, I didn't even know that word. For me, I just was a junkie. Might be a problem. To grow a child in your body and then to raise it, I still wanted to believe that, I don't know, something would happen. And it didn't. My father died while I was pregnant. I think sometimes I just think I broke his heart because he knew what I was doing, and I think it was so terrifying for him. And yeah, he had a heart attack. But so pregnant, burying my dad, the only solution for me, of course, was to use, and I used until the day I gave birth. And I can tell you, it's hard. I mean, so much guilt, so much fear for that kid coming. But I still couldn't see a way out, no solution. It was so uncomfortable to try to stop using. But the thing is that nobody told me that I was an addict, and that for me, the only solution was not to take any sort of drugs, marijuana and alcohol included. That's a solution that never occurred to me. So yeah, years passed, my son is 4, and my life is getting worse and worse. Like, physically, I'm a wreck. Mentally, it's tough. I'm always depressed. I start to see a sort of judgment in my son's eyes. Even if he's only 4, he sees things that he shouldn't see. He sees me like dope sick, and I'm not, a mom he can rely on. Plus, I'm starting to have problems in my jobs, like missing planes because I'm trying to, or I don't have drugs, and so I'm dope sick. I cannot make the flight, or I use too much and I'm too high, so I just miss the flight. And I was like, okay, if I don't have money anymore to use, it's gonna be a big, big problem. So my first motivation when I called my best friend, he was the only one to know about the situation, the only person I've told about my drug problem, because I was like trying to hide it the best I could. I thought nobody knew. I guess that everybody knew, but I mean, he was the only people I was able to talk with about that. And he told me, like, for 3 years, you should go to any meetings. It would really help you. He never told me that it was a program of complete abstinence from all drugs, because I don't think I would have made it if I had known. So I called him, and yeah, it's because my partner told me, you cannot keep on like that. You're gonna die. You're not gonna see your son alive for a long time if you keep using this way. And when your using partner says you things like that, you're just like, oh, I'm in trouble. And yeah, I called my friend. He sent me to my first meeting. I went on my own. I just didn't want to do that. To me, that was the really the admission of failure, like going to naming meetings like with junkies. I was expecting like people from the street, like stinking with no teeth. There was few like that, but mostly I saw like beautiful people smiling, like looking pretty healthy and especially happy. So they started to talk about their using, and I was like, oh yeah, I felt the same. And it's funny because it was an LGBT meeting, so, and I'm straight, so apparently nothing to identify with, but I don't know, I felt I found something. And end of the meeting, when they said their clean time, when they celebrated their clean time birthdays, I couldn't believe that they were not using anything. I was like, but come on, at least you smoke a joint or you have a drink sometimes. And they were like, no, just nothing at all. To me, it was a shock. So, but I don't know, it just gave me just a glimpse of hope that people like me are not always dying of their addiction. Because to me, it was sure I was about to die because of drugs. And if not, I was about to die from something else but using. So yeah, I had that hope. Like, it was just a tiny one, very tiny hope, but hope at least. So the day after, I remember I brought my son to the swimming pool, and right after I was feeling very bad, and I checked these NA meetings, and I realized there was one like 15 minutes away by walking from where I live. And I met that meeting. It was a tiny group at that time because it was a new meeting, and I felt home. And it's my home group today. So they saw me arriving.
Standing
They
pass. Oh my God.
sorry. So yeah, it's just really finding this group, just I don't know, made the difference. It was easy to reach, and there was women. They welcomed me. They explained me like, okay, do you want to stop using? I was like, I'm not sure. And they were like, that's fine. Just go to meetings. I was like, okay. So that's what I did. There was like, take a sponsor. Even if you don't know what a sponsor is, just grab a sponsor. So I chose my first sponsor because she had a dog, and I'm a big dog lover. And she just gave me this basic instructions like, okay, you go to meetings, you call me every day, you pray. I was like, what? Because I was calling her every morning, like 7 and crack of dawn. And I was like, I want to use. And she was like, but then go on your knees and pray. I was like, are you just kidding me? She was like, yeah, you just do that. Don't ask why, just do it. So I started to pray, going to meetings. I was using less, but I was not clean, you know, like. And it's just by going to meetings every day, like after, I don't know, something like 50 days, the desire to stop using really became true. I just wanted that. I wanted what you had. And I knew it was the only solution for someone like me. So people told me, if you feel like using, you call before, which I didn't do for the first 50 days. And the day I did it, I stopped using. And to me, it was a fucking miracle that, because I was in deep obsession, like that was what was killing me, was the obsession of wanting to use. Like, it was when it was on me, I couldn't choose, I had to use. And that day, I had this big obsession, but I called NA members, and you know, the first call didn't convince me. The second, a little more. The third call, she was like, take a bath and I talk with you. And I don't know, the evening went by and I didn't use. And when I woke up the morning after, the obsession of using was just lifted. And it's been the first time in my entire life, you know, like when you use from your 12 to 33, it's a life with this obsession. So, yeah, the first promise of Narcotics Anonymous just became real. So it gave me hope. But I still had substitution treatment. And my sponsor told me, okay, now you've stopped using, that's great, but you're not really clean to the by the NA way. You gotta fucking stop these pills. And I was like, oh, that's another story again. But I don't know, I really wanted to be clean like you guys. So I did it. It's been a rough road, really rough. So I made it a little, I mean, not a little, way too quick in the beginning. So I had serious back problems. So I had to go through back surgery. And NA members visited me in the hospital. Then they organized meetings in my house because I couldn't move. I had to learn how to walk again. So, because when you arrive in NA, people tell you you'll never be alone anymore. And to me, it sounded so fake. But once again, the promise became true. And yeah, people were there for me. So then the steps. I was hearing about the steps, like they are the solution, the survival kit. And if you want to feel happy and comfortable and be clean, you gotta fucking work your steps. So, because, I was clean, I had hope, but I still had this sense of big discomfort in life and with people and especially with myself, like just being in my skin was very uncomfortable. So yeah, I started to write my steps. Step one was tough, plus I don't know, I lost so many kills, it was hard for me to write, to read. I injured my brain so much by using the first grade. Student became like, for me, yeah, just reading three lines was a challenge, but I did it slowly but surely. Yeah, I think it took me like 6 months or something, but it's good because it's really the foundation of the rest of the steps. I think if you still think that you can use successfully, that's a reservation that's gonna rob your recovery. So by to examine your past is very painful, but I think it's a necessity for me to face the truth. And the truth about me is that I cannot control my using of anything. That's just insane. And that's how I'm built. Just God knows why. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I guess it's bad luck. And I'm not trying to find any reason in, my past or because what any teaches me, it's not why I'm an addict, because in the end, this doesn't help. It's how can I recover? So yeah, I did that step one. And after that step one, I felt so empty. I mean, it's like a death sentence on you. Like, okay, you're a fucking addict. You're not able to use, but you feel so bad without drugs. What can you do? And that's where step two comes. Like, I came to believe in a power greater than myself. So at the beginning, it was the group, it was the program, the steps, and the predecessors. Because I could hear the stories, and I was like, okay, it has worked for them, so maybe it could work for me. And I mean, I see miracles in the room every day. Just the fact that we're here, that we're clean, and that we are alive is a fucking miracle. Sorry for swearing. So, yeah, this gave me a sort of faith. And then step three, like, just when, sorry, I'm just looking for my words. Turning my will and my life over to the care of God, I was like, but I don't know what God is. So, the steps are well done with because I work it, but with the step work guide. But I mean, that's the way I do it. But I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I think you can get this too by talking with your sponsor and. Because it's just ideas that they have to grow. in yourself. So, yeah, little by little, by working these steps, I started to believe in God. I mean, I think I've always believed in God, but I was very resentful about him. To me, it was like, yeah, he was maybe first on my list, on my step four, because I was like, okay, God, you killed my dad. You made me an addict. And no. I was really playing this blame game, like with God. But well, I say sometimes to my sponsee, it's better to be angry at God than not having any God in your life, So at least it's a sort of relationship that has to be improved. And yeah, actually, I came to this. I didn't come in NA to find God. Gosh, I came to stop drugs and to find a new way of life. By working the steps, I just realized that it was the only way to feel happy and to have a sort of joy of living clean and having a comfort in my skin and with other people. Because yeah, relationship is tough for an addict. I mean, I can still see it, but it's improving so much. I mean, in every areas of my life. So yeah, it's actually a spiritual disease, this void we have in us, and that we're trying to fill up with drugs and with people, places, and things, but it's never enough. I mean, I never had any real satisfaction. I can get no satisfaction. So that's the tune I've played my whole life before I got in NA. And yeah, this program is spiritual in this sense. It's curing a spiritual disease. I'm a fucking self-centered person, sometimes I call myself the selfish bitch because I think it took me a pretty long time to understand that in literature because they talk about it in step one, but I couldn't get it. But this way of feeling like the center of the world, not in a way like I'm a big star. No, it's more like this sort of discomfort comes, I guess, from the idea that all eyes are on me, that I'm the reason that things are happening. And like when I tell I broke my dad's heart, it's fucking insane to think like that. I'm not God. I'm not killing anyone or giving anyone a heart attack. It's just, it's life, And I'm not planning the whole scenario, but for so many years, I thought that my own will could force things and events and in life. So yeah, I was sort of a big producer of the world, and it failed all the time. So I felt like shit. And relying on God gives you another center. It's really like the stars, Like for centuries, we thought that Earth was the center of the universe. And things were not very well working for astronomic people, like, because actually it was not tr true. So when we realized that the center was sun and not earth, everything fell in place. And that's what's happening little by little by working the steps. So I'm not done with the 12 steps. I finished to write my step 8. I'm waiting for my sponsor to be available to share it. Each step I've done, I've been very scared to do it before, like, and I cannot tell you how scared I am to do my amends. It is scary, but it's less scary than when I started step eight, because I was like, that's something I cannot do. And today it's like each time I write and work and share, I really have to rely on a sort of blind faith. But it's not that blind. It's just because I saw people going the whole way, and I saw how they are today, that I can put my faith into this program. And I mean, addiction is a killer. It kills so many people, young people. And it's really, I mean, the world is really inflicted by this disease that's really not well known. I mean, maybe a little more these days, but I didn't even know it was a disease. And yeah, I can say I'm a believer today. I believe in God, and I think that God gave us this 12 steps program to just to help the world and make it a better place. So do I feel great every day? No, but it's most of the time I'm feeling very great. I am a good mom to my son. I mean, maybe not the best, but a much better one than I used to be when I was using. I'm more present. We share nice things. We go on holidays. I mean, just normal life, but to me, it's not normal to do these things, you know. I'm finding beauty in almost anything. Like, sometimes it's a little bird of a ray of light, and I'm looking for beauty in this world. I'm going to museum. I travel quite a lot, and I'm lucky to have a job that allows me to travel the world. And I've always been traveling, but before I was locked in my hotel room using, and today I'm just going outside, meeting people, see beautiful things, and that's such a nice change. Come on. And reading too, I couldn't read two lines, and today, yeah, NA literature and other books are, to me, I read a lot of spiritual books. It really helps me to deepen this faith that is came to birth in NA, and it's really because of you, because I never thought it could be a real solution, but that's really where I find my comfort from, and my joy and my happiness. Yeah, relationships, are they better? In my job, for sure. I'm still doing the same job I came in with. I was about to get fired, and since I'm clean, which is more than 3 years, I got to, how do you say? I mean, I'm more paid, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, I've got raised twice in 3 years since I'm clean. With my mom, I mean, there's a sort of distance, but at least there is love, because I hated her when I came in NA, and I was blaming her for everything. I mean, for me, my parents were the reason I was using, and today I can tell you I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's just the way I am. And my parents were not monsters. They did their best. It was maybe not exactly what I needed, but who knows? And with my partner, it's not easy. We are still together. He doesn't go in NA. He uses still a little, but I don't think he's an addict. He uses sometimes, but just, yeah, he's not like me. So I guess he doesn't need a program. But it's still hard, you know, to be with someone who has not the same past. But would I want to be with an NA member? I'm not so sure. I don't know. So, but even that relationship, yeah, because he's my son's dad and we've been together for so long, I was just like, okay, hand it over to God. And it's been a big relief. And friendship in NA, oh my God, I had no friends when I came in. And especially woman, I didn't felt comfortable with woman. Because men I could, you know, manipulate, but woman, to me, they were just judgmental. And here I found such a, yeah, compassion, understanding between each other's, and it's still growing. And I'm still, you know, building new relationships with woman. My sponsor is like 30 years clean, and I really admire her. I think she's a beautiful person, you know, and wise, and I'm happy that she's giving me her experience. I have a sponsee that I'm happy to share what I did to become clean and to stay clean with. I have ex-sponsees that I'm still in touch with and that I deeply love. And I also have friends who are men and they're really good friends. So I didn't come in NA to find neither God, neither friends, neither joy, just the solution to my problem of drug, and that's all I found. Joy, beauty, friendship. And a meaningful life. So I think I'm gonna stop for today. It's been pretty, I think it's the first time I spoke that long, but I hope I gave you a sort of hope and strength. And especially if there is newcomers, just really keep coming back. Even if you don't feel like you have the desire to stop using, it's gonna come. Because I don't think we end up in NA by mistake. It's not because you had a bad weekend. It's because we suffered so much. All right. Thank you for letting me share. Have a nice Saturday evening.